put that way. Well, just to draw things together, and before we take our communion, I've spent some time reading through these readings. They're all very familiar to us, aren't they? And yet, you can never read the scriptures without somehow it comes with a freshness, and we see things that we perhaps haven't seen before. The first one is the reading that we read was about Jesus praying on the Mount of Olives. And the thing that hit me again afresh as I read through that was that truly we talk about the Lord Jesus being the God-man. He was Son of God and he was Son of Man. Indeed, he is Son of God, obviously. And he was, is, and always will be God. Hence, his 33 years that he spent on this earth of ours. But he was a man, he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we're reminded in Hebrews 4, verse 15. He is our great high priest. And he came to fulfill the Father's will. But naturally, as a man, he was afraid. Because as God, he knew exactly what lay before him. You know, some of us have had the good or misfortune, whichever way you look at it, I suppose before or after, of facing surgery. And it's, whilst as Christians, and we know the presence of the Lord with us and his comfort, it's, there's always that thought, that hope everything's going to go well, we're going to come out and we're going to be the better for having gone under the knife, as they say. And our brother Wayne probably knows more about this than most of us, but I've had more than my fair share, I think, but there we are, that's how it goes. But you know, we go in and we're not sure how we're going to be when we come out. But the Lord Jesus, he was God. And he knew exactly what lay before him. And they tell us that the crucifixion is probably the worst form of death that one can go through. We can't imagine it, can we? I remember going to Oberammergau some years ago and seeing that, and I've been to the one in London as well. And it really sort of hits you when you see the person where they're, by the way, going to have their nails. I can't think of any worse than nails put through your hands. Awful. And then, of course, through the bones in his legs and feet. And yet, that's what our Saviour was prepared to go through. No wonder he shrank from it as a man. But thank God, he, as God, went through for that. And then, of course, we read in Luke 22 and verses 47 to 53 that a crowd came to arrest him. And Jesus approached Jesus to kiss him. And I was thinking about that. Surely a kiss is a sign or an act of affection. Not so by Judas. He saw it as a sign of identification. No wonder the scriptures can say that Satan had entered into Judas. How could he do it? And Jesus said, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? What a paradox that is. And yet that's what we've been thinking about today. We are thinking about the Lord Jesus being put into that position quite willingly by Judas to identify him to those evil men who came to get him. The disciples came to the rescue, we read, didn't we? And one of them, I think in one of the accounts, I think it was Peter who was the one who cut off the servants of the high priest, his ear. And, you know, one can perhaps understand how those disciples felt, seeing their Lord and Master, their friend. They'd spent 3 years with this man, and they'd grown to love him, and to serve him, and to work with him. And yet here he is being taken in this way. But the Lord Jesus didn't see it in that way, did he? He stopped, told them to stop all this, and he healed the man's ear. Such is the love that we've been singing about in some of our hymns. And then again, in the next reading that we read, we were reminded that Pilate was convinced, totally convinced, that the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent. He was a man who no doubt tried many men and maybe women, I don't know, but over the years. And he knew, you can tell, that this man, he could see, find no fault in him. And he pleaded with those that crowd to take him, and to, he even said, well, I'll punish him. But no, they were crying out the more, weren't they? They wanted Barabbas in his place, a man who had murdered and caused lots of problems to the authorities. But no, that's what they wanted. And yet, three times Pilate declared that he was innocent. And so he, in the end, gave in to their insistent demands for the death penalty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the crowd's insistent demands were granted. An innocent man was convicted. But you know, I was reminded as I was thinking about these thoughts over the last couple of days, that we're reminded, aren't we, in Isaiah 55, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yes, to us, it's, and with our sense of justice, this was a total travesty of justice. And yet, it was God's plan of salvation. We read, don't we, in Ephesians 1, of that great plan of salvation that Paul reminds the Ephesians about. And so it is, that it was God's way. And how glad we are that God did that, saw that plan through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we come to where the Lord Jesus is being crucified, an innocent man crucified, undeserving of death, we read in verse 32. But what was the statement that was issued by the Lord Jesus as he hung there? "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And how true was that? They didn't know what they were doing. They were just, to these soldiers, I suppose, he was just another body, as it were, that they were going to nail to a cross, along with the two thieves, one either side. But they didn't know who that one in the middle was. And so it was that he was nailed to that cross. And the rulers said to him, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." And we saw that. And they never said truer words, did they? Because there is a, I suppose, a sense in which they were saying these things. And he couldn't save himself, because if he'd come down, he could have come off that cross. Had the power. There were legions of angels waiting just to come down and come to his rescue. But thank God, this evening we can rejoice that he didn't do that, that he went through and completed the work that he'd come to do. And so it was that those words were so true. And the soldiers mocked him, and they said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." Well, of course he couldn't do it, could he? Physically it was possible, but divinely it was impossible. And then we see the two criminals, one either side. And the one on the one side said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Well then, save yourself and us." He was only thinking of himself. But that other criminal who was there realized that this man who was on that center cross was different to them. And he rebuked his colleague, as it were, and he said, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We're being punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve." But again, we're reminded, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, didn't he, to the Lord, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus, in all his agony as he hung there, replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And maybe when we get to heaven, we'll see we'll meet that thief who came to the Lord Jesus, truly, at the 11th hour, as we say. And then finally, he comes to the crucifixion with the criminals. And at 12 noon, darkness descended over the whole land, it says, and until 3 in the afternoon. In those 3 hours, there was total darkness. And I believe that would probably a darkness that you could feel. I remember when Jean and I first moved into this village, I couldn't believe what it was like at night. No lights. And it was so, so dark. And I'd only ever experienced that once before, and that was my late wife's sister and her husband. They lived up in North Wales, right up in the hills. And I remember one night we were there, it was winter time, and I only had a little old A35 car in those days, didn't have much in the way of reversing lights and things like that. And of course, when I parked it in the light, but when I had to come and move it, it was an absolute nightmare. You couldn't see a thing. And truly, it was a darkness that could be felt. And I'm sure that this was even more so than that. And we're told that the temple curtain was torn in two during that time. And what was the reply of the Lord Jesus as he was hanging there on that cross? "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then it says that he died, he expired. Yes, he didn't die of the in the same way as the two criminals died, because they were taken, they came along, didn't they? And we didn't read it, but in one of the accounts it says that they came and they broke their legs. The things that they did, such cruel things. And yet when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was already dead. He'd come to complete that work of salvation for you and I. And then, of course, the centurion came along, didn't he? No doubt a hard man, being a centurion. He worked his way up the ranks, as it were. But he, as he looked on the Saviour, he said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Surely he was a righteous man. And he died there for you and for me. And so the crowd dissipated, but we're told that his friends stood gazing upon him. And as we come to partake of the the communion, the elements on the table, in remembrance of our Saviour, what is our response this evening? As we stand again and look, we sang, didn't we? We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. But he did. He loved, he died for the sins of the world. And you know, when you, Jean and I, as we see the news and read the newspaper and that, and it seems to be, this world seems to be getting worse in this day and age in which we live. And yet, some of these awful things that we read of today, and yet, where we perhaps stand back from them, God loves them. He loves, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so it is today that as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for us at Calvary, we can rejoice in the fact that each one of us, we've accepted that knowledge now, and we rejoice in the knowledge of our sins forgiven. So let's partake together of the elements. Are we going? Are we having the song after the communion? Yeah. Right.